a Song of Solomon. If you will, stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word. I'm going to read out of chapter 2, verse 15, and then we're going over to chapter 5 and read a few verses. Chapter 2, verse 15. Take us the foxes, the little foxes, that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. Let's go over to chapter 5, verse 1. I am come into my garden, my sister, my spouse. I have gathered my myrrh with my spice. I have eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I have drunk my wine with my milk. Eat, O friends, drink ye, yea, drink abundantly, O beloved. I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled, for my head is filled with dew, and my locks with the drops of the night. I have put off my coat. How shall I put it on? I have washed my feet. How shall I defile them? My beloved put in his hand by the hole of the door, and my bowels were moved for him. I rose up to open to my beloved, and my hands dropped with myrrh, and my fingers with sweet-smelling myrrh upon the handles of the lock. I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. My soul failed when he spake. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. The watchmen that went about the city found me. They smote me. They wounded me. The keepers of the walls took away my veil from me. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, that you tell him that I am sick of love. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I certainly again thank you for the precious Word of God. And I ask you to help this preacher tonight to preach in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And that, Father, we might look into these scriptures and understand some truths that will help us to love you more. Father, our greatest desire is to know you better, to love you more. And Lord, it seems like with this old world's troubles and heartaches, it seems like it's hard to stay close to you like we ought to. But Father, we ask you to help us to walk with you and serve you and love you. And Father, just to be what you want us to be. And I thank you tonight for the privilege of preaching. Ask you help us, guide us and direct us. And Lord, that these words from your book will be a blessing to your people. We'll thank and praise you for it. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. I have entitled tonight's message, Little Foxes and Apathy. There's two things that the Lord has pointed out to me in the Song of Solomon. There's so many things there. But there's two things that he has pointed out to me that he wants me to bring forth to you tonight. And that is little foxes and apathy. And so we're going to begin our message, if you'll notice, in verse number 15 of chapter 2. It says, take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. It's known over in Palestine that, of course, you're familiar with the fact there's they have grape, what do they call them, vines, I want to say, but grape vineyards, large grape vineyards back especially in those days. And they said there's a little animal that was something like a fox or a jackal. It was a small one. It's not like a fox that we know of, a little bigger animal, but it was looked something like a fox. And those foxes would burrow down in around these harbors, and they would come out at night and other times, and they would eat the grapes off of the vines. And I mean, they would do great destruction to them. And so the Lord, through, I believe, this illustration, is trying to teach us some wonderful truths about also the fruit being destroyed by the little foxes. And so we want to kind of go over some things tonight that might help you. You know, it doesn't have to be big sin or big things that destroy the fruit of our Christian life. It can be little things, little small things that can do that. So I want you to keep your place there, and I want to turn over to the book of John, the 15th chapter for a few moments. 15th chapter of the book of John, the 16th verse, we have basically here God's purpose for the children of God, what He wants from them. And He says in verse 16, He says, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, He may give it you." You notice here that God said in His Word that He has ordained us, He's chosen us first of all, and He's ordained us that we should go forth and bring forth fruit. It's the purpose of God in the Christian life that we bring forth fruit. Now, I believe basically, and let me say this so that we'll have an understanding, I believe there's more than just one kind of fruit we're to bring forth. But let me say to you that the main important fruit that God wants a Christian to bring forth is other Christians. Now you say, "Brother Ross, you just get on this all the time." But I know it, but I got to keep after you. And it's the purpose of God for you and I to bring forth other Christians. Get people born again. Amen? That's God's purpose, you see, for us. It's the having other sheep, you see. Bringing forth those who will come to know Christ as their personal Savior. Now, I realize there's other fruit in the Christian life. I understand that, and I believe that. I think I've even preached on that here. But we know that God expects us to bring forth other Christians. Folks, what good would it do for God to save us and just leave us here and never give the gospel message out or never even try to win a soul or bring anybody to Christ? What good would we be to the cause of Christ? See, the purpose is, fruit He wants us to have is to bring forth other people into the fold, you see. All right, so He tells us here that, and then in verse number 1, He says this, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman." And He says, "Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, He purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit." Now you notice in verse number 1 that Jesus tells us He's the true vine. Let me say to you tonight, He is. You see, the fruit is not a result of the branches. The fruit is a result of the vine. You see, we just happen to be the branches that get the privilege of bringing forth some fruit. You go out here in the springtime and you'll see some apple trees blossoming and peach trees. And sometime this summer you're going to see some fruit on those trees. They'll be hanging off the branches. But the branches are not the reason that fruit's there. It's the vine. It's the trunk of the tree. It goes down into the ground and brings forth the nourishments out of the ground, out into the branches, and the branches get the great privilege of bringing forth the fruit. So we find that Jesus says that He is the vine. He's the true vine, you see. And if you'll notice there, He says also that every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, He purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. The whole idea of the branches is to bring forth fruit. Now, we're going to talk about on down there about how that we've got to be in Christ and all these things, but it's the branches that bring forth the fruit. But Jesus is the vine, you see. We find in verse 1 also that God is the husbandman. He's the one that takes care of the vine. He's the one that purges back the branches. You see, He's the one that does that. He says there in that verse, "Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away." You see, the branches are purged, and God does that. In verse 1, it says, He's the husbandman. So God is the one that does the purging of the branches. He's the one that cares for it and purges it back. In verse number 2, you'll notice that the believers then, and I'll go ahead, I've already read verse 2, but you'll notice in verse 3, "Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." And He says, "Now abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me." If you notice that wonderful truth, He says, you abide in me. You can't bring forth fruit unless you abide in the vine. Who's the vine? Jesus is the vine. Amen? You and I cannot bring forth fruit unless we abide in the vine. First of all, we got to be a child of God. Amen? You got to be in Jesus before you can bring forth any fruit. He goes on and says, "And I am the vine, ye are the branches." And once again, he makes it very clear that Jesus is the vine. He makes it very clear that the Christian, the believers, are the branches. "He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth fruit, for without me ye can do nothing." Once again, the Lord Jesus makes this very clear. He says, "You're the branches." He says, "I'm the vine." And he says, "You can't bring forth any fruit without me." Because if you're not hooked into the vine, you won't bring forth any fruit. You see, because the fruit comes from the vine. That's Jesus. And he says that you can't do anything without him. Amen? Boy, listen, get a hold of that, folks. You can't do anything without Jesus. Amen? You can't win a soul without Jesus. You understand? You can't do that. It's Jesus that does that. It's the Holy Spirit that does the convicting and the judging and righteousness and all of those conviction of sin and judgment and righteousness. It's the Holy Spirit that does that. You see, but it's Jesus that wins the soul. You understand? It's Jesus that has paid for the cost of sin. It's Jesus that does it. You can't do it without the vine. He says, you can't do anything without me. Understand? Get a hold of that. That's a good truth. He also tells us, he said, "If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned." He said, "If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you." The whole secret to the whole thing is abiding in Jesus Christ. You understand that, don't you, see? And what's the purpose for us abiding in Jesus Christ? Can you help me with that? What does he want us to do because we abide? Bring forth fruit. There's a purpose, amen? I mean, it's not just because you want to abide in him. It's not just because, you know, that sounds like a good thing to do. No, it has a purpose behind it, and the purpose behind it is that we would bring forth fruit, you see. That's what God wants us to do. And you see, a dead stick can't bring forth fruit. It takes a live stick, and a live stick is one that's hooked into the vine, which is Jesus, amen? You have new life, you see, in him. Now, in verse number... Now let me go to verse number 4 and 5 once again and read that. He says, "Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing." And once again we find that the truth in verses 4 and 5 and verse number 16 is simply saying this: the purpose for you being in the vine and I being in the vine is to bring forth fruit. Amen. That's the whole purpose. Amen. Sure, we get to go to heaven. Sure, we escape hell. But the purpose for us here, when we're in the vine, is to bring forth fruit. Amen. Isn't that right? Sure it is. All right, I'm going to go over to the book of Galatians just for a moment. Now, I realize something when I read this, that it's not just, this here is the fruit of the Spirit. We find this in Galatians, the 5th chapter. It's called the fruit of the Spirit. Up in verse number 19 of chapter 5, we find the works of the flesh. And then I'll go ahead and read that. It says, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, adultery, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulsion, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." And then he shifts gears, and he says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." If you notice there, the word fruit there is not fruits. It is the fruit of the Spirit of God. And let me say to you, if you're born into God's family, this fruit ought to be starting to grow in your life. It's already there because the Holy Spirit of God is there. But those things ought to be starting to grow in your life. Now, what God is warning us over in the book of Song of Solomon, he's warning us that there is some foxes. There's some things that will spoil the fruit. Now, it's just like those foxes I told you about that burrowed down around where the grapes were growing and into little holes, and they'd come out and they'd eat the grapes. Well, what God is telling us spiritually is that there's some foxes out there that's doing its best to try to destroy the fruit in your life. And there's a lot of things that old Satan is trying to do, and it doesn't have to be big things, large things. It can be very small things that can destroy your effectiveness in bringing forth fruit for God. And so what God is trying to warn us about is, be careful of those little foxes. Be careful of those little things that will destroy your effectiveness for the Lord. We talk about church attendance a lot. We talk about reading your Bible. We talk about praying, you know, and witnessing for the Lord. Well, there's a lot of things that hinder you from doing those things. And a lot of times, they may not be big things. They may be such things as you don't have your time scheduled down right. I mean, you just haven't put a schedule on your life to where you put these things in and decide that they're going to be important in your Christian life. And when old Satan can do that, and he can keep you from a time schedule that'll put prayer in, and put Bible reading in, put witnessing in, and these things like this, and church attendance in, then old Satan has won a battle. And he's allowed these little foxes to come out and to steal the grapes and the fruit that you would produce for the Lord Jesus Christ. So he's warning us about these things. Folks, listen, you know, when I preach, just listen to this. When I preach church attendance, when I preach Bible reading, when I preach witnessing, and when I preach praying, do you realize them's just basics? I mean, that's not something great. I mean, you can't say, "Man, Mom, read my Bible." You're supposed to. Amen. "Man, I'm praying." Well, you're supposed to. "I attend church regularly." Good for you. That's basics. Amen? That's just basics. We get in Christianity today. I mean, boy, if we ask somebody to be faithful to the house of God, it's like you've wanted to pull one of their eye teeth or something. But folks, that's basics in Christianity. Look, you're a child of God. Let's get back to the very basics of Christianity. I can understand a newborn person sometimes not understanding all the things that's expected of him and maybe have some problems in faithfulness. I understand some of that, but they ought to learn pretty soon. This is the basics of the Christian life. Amen? I don't apologize when I preach about these things and talk about these things. That's basics. Amen? Now, if I was asking you to sing specials or maybe work in our school and some of these things, there may be some extra things that I would be asking you of that you'd have to make a decision. Are you going to do these things? But the whole thing about it is basics are the things that the Christian ought to do. Right. Amen? And we don't apologize for them. Those are just things you and I ought to do because we're God's child. Amen? So God is saying, though, there's some things that will spoil that. We'll steal that. Now, if you're truthful tonight, and you don't have to tell me, but you'll be truthful tonight, you'll say, "Yes, Brother Ross, I remember last week I didn't read my Bible like I should, and it was because some of them old foxes got in. See, I didn't pray last week like I should, or maybe I didn't pray at all, and it was because some foxes got in. I didn't do any witnessing for the Lord last week. I didn't even go out and knock on a door or try call anybody or do anything to try to get the gospel message out. Well, some foxes got in. And they stole your time. And they destroyed the fruit that God wants you to have in your Christian life. Are you understanding what I'm saying? I'm saying the little foxes are there to destroy that fruit. Now, we know, according to the Word of God speaks of the sin of the flesh and it speaks of the sin of the spirit. And we know it's pretty easy to spot those sins of the flesh. I mean, if I had you announce them tonight, get up and tell me some of them, you'd say, "Well, murder's one of them." You'd say drunkenness. You'd say drug use. You'd say adultery. And you'd name all these terrible sins of the flesh. And let me say to you, yes, they are. They are terrible and they're wrong, should be straightened out in our life. But you know what? Most of us wouldn't mention the sins of the spirit. We wouldn't have much to say about the pride in our life. No, we'd skip that over. We'd look at somebody and say, that person is a drunkard. And oh, what a shame it is that person drinks. Well, it is wrong. But we'd never mention the fact about the pride that's in our own life. The little foxes that slip in. We'd never mention the fact about how we covet other people's things. We'd never mention that. Now, we might mention murder, but we won't mention covetousness. Amen? And you know, we wouldn't dare mention about that bitter attitude that we carry around with us. That's supposed to be all right. No, that's foxes. That's stealing the fruit of the Christian. the terrible attitude that some people serve under and some people who don't serve because they've got a terrible attitude. But no one would say, oh, what a terrible sin. But let me tell you, it's a terrible sin. It's a horrible sin. It's just as bad as some of the fleshly sins that you could name. What I'm simply saying to you folks is you got to remember the sins of the Spirit. The things that will just catch you up and cause you to not be fruitful for the Lord. He expects us to be fruitful. And old Satan doesn't want you to be fruitful. So he sends those little foxes in to steal the fruit from your life. Basically, there's three different kinds. I just want to mention them real quickly. First of all, there's that heart and secret sins that nobody knows anything about but us. They're heart sins. They're secret sins. And we commit them sins, and no one knows anything about them. We don't talk about them. Only we know, and God. Amen. Only we and God know, and we're hoping He won't say anything about it. Amen. That's those sins that old Satan can use to keep you from a fruitful life. Understand? You see, in Psalms 51:10, David said this, "Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me." David knew that his heart was dirty. He knew it. And he knew there was not a right spirit in him. And he asked God to renew all of that. Let me ask you, does jealousy rise up in you? Are you jealous of someone who's doing more for God than someone else? Are you jealous of someone because they've got more things than you do? Are you impure and no one knows about it? And you're committing impure acts? And you say no one knows about it? That are foxes that's going to steal your fruit. You understand? God says, beware of the little foxes, and they'll steal the fruit of your life. In Psalm 98, he said, "Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance." You see, we've got to understand those secret sins may be hid by everybody else, and you've done your best to cover them up. But let me say to you, they're in the light of God's countenance. He looks at them every day. He knows what we're doing. Amen? And you know what those secret sins do? They rob your fruitfulness. They keep you from winning souls, from being a fruitful Christian for the Lord. You understand what happened? Be careful of those little foxes. They'll steal from you. Amen? Also, not only the heart and secret sins, there's the, I call them the lip sins, the sins of the tongue. Folks, I don't know about you, but I want to tell you something. I fight that thing all the time. I ask God all the time. I'm like the psalmist who said, "Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips." And if you don't be careful, that tongue wants to stick out there and say something that you shouldn't say. And sometimes you just spurt it out, don't it? I just fight that thing all the time. I ask God, help me. Please, help me. What I try to do, I've told you before, I try to stop and think before I answer. I try to stop and think before I say something, that so I'll try to say it right. And the reason for that is, I know me and I know that tongue that the Bible says cannot be controlled and cannot be tamed. The only way it can be controlled and tamed is through the Holy Spirit of God. And that's God doing it for us. That's it. You say, "Boy, I got mine under control." No, you don't. You don't have anything under control. Only Jesus can help you get it under control and keep it under control. What I'm saying is the tongue sins are terrible things. They hurt. They cut. They just cut deep wounds into other people because you've said something. And someone says something to you, and so you're going to say something worse to them. I'm saying to you what it is, it's a fox. It's slipping in and it's stealing your fruitfulness. Amen? Don't ever use the excuse, "Well, I cannot control my tongue. I've got a bad temper." I just say, don't you ever use that excuse. If you're a Christian, you have one inside you that can do it. You do not have to hurt other people. And you do not have to get on the telephone and gossip. You do not have to do that. You may do it, but you do not have to do that. And it's for sure that those little foxes are stealing the glory of God from your life if you let it happen. You understand? You gossip behind other people's back. You say things wrong about other people. And you think that's all right. No one's going to find out about it. And you spread that and it goes around town like a bag of feathers, dropping one by one, and you can't go back and pick them up because they blow everywhere. Amen? See, we've got to learn to control that thing. I just want to say to you, and it goes for me too, around here, if that thing gets out of control, when it shouldn't and causes trouble, we're going to deal with it. I mean, amen? Wouldn't that be right? Amen, everybody? Sure. See, that'd keep things down if we do that, won't it? You see, that's old foxes that sneak in and begin to eat the grapes and steal the fruit of people's lives when you ought to be out speaking about Jesus and telling somebody about the Lord. You get busy doing that, you won't have time to run somebody else down. Amen? You just have time to talk about Jesus and tell people about Him. There's no need running other folk down with your mouth. What right have you got to make these judgments? And most of the time, you don't know if it's true or not. You're telling something that you heard down the road somewhere. Someone told you this. And so because someone told you, it's true. Hogwash. Amen? So what we need to do is not let those foxes steal the fruit. Amen? We need to do it. We need to ask God to put a watch over our mouth and a guard over our mouth so that we won't do that, you see. Not only that, we have the heart and secret sins, and then we have also the lip sins, the tongue sins, and then also, we have the behavior sins, the things that we do that are wrong, being unkind to somebody, just causing someone problem instead of being a help and a blessing. You know, I was thinking, I hope you don't mind me to kind of just talk personally for a moment. I told you this morning, went over to see my brother and his wife, and my brother and his wife are not a Baptist. In fact, they're what I grew up in. There's no doubt in my mind of their faith in Christ. There's no doubt about that in my mind. But they don't believe everything that I think they should believe. But I want to tell you something. I've been over there quite a few times. The other day, Donna and I was there, and can you even give an idea how many come through there? We was there about an hour and a half. We sat and talked with about an hour and a half. How many? Six? Five, at least. People from their church stopped by to say hello. Can we do anything? She says they're always like this. So they brought us food. They've just taken care of us. They've watched over. It wasn't the preacher doing it, folks. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with the preacher doing it, because the preacher's wife had been there too. I'm not saying that it can't be the preacher. I'm saying, why don't we also do that? Why don't we show kindness? Why don't we not expect everybody to do for us, and why don't we start doing for somebody else? That one man from the church went out and took my brother from the hospital he was in. He was able to get out two different times and brought him over to see Irene, his wife. 2 days in a row, went out there, got him, brought him, took him out. They lost everything they could lose, their clothing, everything. And he took him out and bought him some clothes. No, this wasn't a preacher. This is just a man in the church who loved God. He went into that room in there and sat, and he said, "Wilmer, you take as much time as you want with your wife." And he said, "When you get ready to go, I'll be right down the road, hall here in the room." And he said, Wilmer said, "Well, I don't want to keep you." He said, "Look, I'm retired." He said, "My wife be glad to get rid of me." He was kidding. He said, "Just take as much time as you want." And he said, "You just go on when you're done, when you're ready." He said, "I'll be here to take you home." Take you. I thought to myself, you know, there's things that we ought to be doing. Some of these people put us to shame. And we ought to be doing them. I forgot to tell you, Mrs. Heath is in intensive care in the hospital in Linton. She went in today. I just got the call right before services. But she's in intensive care. But what I'm saying to you is, folks, you don't have to come and say, "Is it all right if I go down and visit somebody and be a blessing to somebody?" do it. I mean, amen? I believe God would have you do it. Don't you? You see, what I'm saying is, if you don't be careful, oh, Satan steals those blessings that you could be, and sometimes it's just out of neglect. We just don't do what we ought to be doing. Understand? So I'm saying, don't let them foxes sneak in and steal these things from you. There's a lot of people out there that has some needs. I mean, that can't get to church. A lot of folk. We have a lot of widows in our church, whether you know it or not, and those widows ought to be taken care of. They ought to be seen. They ought to be visited. They ought to be seen if they have any needs in their life. These things ought to be going on. Amen? In Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Amen? We ought to do that because we have it in our heart. These are the little foxes that will rob your life of the fruit that God wants you to produce. There's only one way to get rid of them. The Bible tells us, and we preached on this in the book of Romans, the 8th chapter, the Word of God tells us to, through the Spirit, mortify the deeds of the body. Through the Holy Spirit of God inside us, mortify means to bring to death. Kill them. The only way you're going to get rid of those little foxes is shoot them. Get rid of them. Bring them to death. Don't let them be and do what they're doing in your life. That's what the Word of God tells us in more places than just what I've told you. In Galatians 5, he tells us the same thing. In Romans, the 13th chapter, he tells us the same thing. It's to mortify the deeds of the body. Get rid of them. Those foxes that are stealing that fruit out of your life, get rid of them, mortify them, bring them to death, and get rid of them and put them out of your life. Now I want to take just a few moments and I want to talk to you about apathy. The little foxes steal a lot of things from our life. But there's also a state which I call simply a state of apathy. I want to go back to the book of Song of Solomon, please. It's a picture here of the bride and the bridegroom. And the bride in this scripture that I read to you, because of apathy, because of neglect, of lost fellowship with the bridegroom, that's the picture we find here in chapter 5. This bride, not because of some great sin that she's committed. Let me say to you, it's not some great sin that always separates us from God. Sometimes it's just downright apathy. Just not caring. Just not doing what we ought to do so that we can stay close to the bridegroom. If you'll notice in verse number 2, he said, the Word of God says, I sleep, but my heart waketh. Now, it is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled, for my head is filled with dew and my locks with the drops of the night. We find the voice of the bridegroom calling out to his bride. And we find her asleep. Now, let me say something to you, that spiritual sleepiness is very serious business. And throughout the Word of God, he calls out for us to awaken, arise, awake. You remember when old Jonah went down into the midst of the, sides of the ship? And the Bible says he went asleep. All the other heathen were up on top because of the storm, crying out to their God. And finally the shipmaster went down into the sides of the ship and he said this, arise, O sleeper, and call upon thy God. Now you've got to understand something. Jonah was the only saved man on the whole bunch of the whole ship. And he was the only one asleep. And the shipmaster, a heathen man, had to come down and wake him up and say, call upon your God. Get up, arise. What I'm saying to you is, folks, that when we're asleep spiritually, it's very serious business. You know, sleep brings a state of inaction. When you're asleep of a night, you're not doing too much. You may dream a lot. You may turn over some. You may do these things. But you're not getting anything accomplished but sleeping. Same way when we're spiritually asleep. We're not getting anything accomplished for the Lord's work. We're not getting a bit accomplished for it. All we're doing is sleeping. Amen? Same thing is that we waste our master's time. I thought about that. If we stay asleep spiritually, we're wasting the time that God has given us. And we're wasting his time. Not just our time, we're wasting his time. And also, sleep is a time of danger. Say, what do you mean, Brother Ross? Well, all kinds of things happen of a night. thieves come in of a night, don't they? And it's dangerous when you're asleep unless you've got good locks on your doors, because that's when these thieves can slip in the door when you're asleep and you don't hear them. Well, spiritually, the same thing happens. When you're asleep spiritually, old Satan sends his foxes in and steals the fruit of our life. So you got to be careful about sleeping. We find here, she finally, her heart awakens, she says, and she hears the voice of her beloved. And so we find then in verse number 2, we find the appeal that she heard. And the appeal was, "The voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, open to me, my sister." In other words, won't you please open the door? Won't you please let me in? Now imagine this, folks. This is Jesus talking to you. And he's saying, you're asleep. Won't you waken and won't you come to the door and let me in? Behold, he says in Revelation, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. Didn't he? What did he say? Will you open the door? That's what Jesus is saying here. He's saying to his bride, will you open the door? Will you let me in? He's calling for an open door. You see, you got to open the door before he comes in. I'm not talking about for salvation. Do you understand in the book of Revelation the situation there was the church of Laodicea? Do you understand at the first of the book of Revelation we find Jesus Christ standing in the midst of the seven churches? And at the end of the letters to the church, we find Jesus Christ standing on the outside knocking, trying to get in? It's exactly what it's a picture of. He's outside trying to get in. And he's doing the same thing here in the Song of Solomon. He is trying to get his bridegroom or his bride to open the door and let him in. You see, when he knocks, it's urgent. He wants in. He calls out with a voice in the book of Revelation and asks him to open the door and let him in. Well, he does the same thing with our heart. Through a preacher, through a Sunday school teacher, through the Word of God, through circumstances of life, through a friend, a brother in Christ that speaks to us. And God is calling out to us and asking us to open the door and let him in where he belongs. And so what happens? Apathy. We're just in a state of apathy. We're not real too concerned about what's going on spiritually around us. And then we find in verse number 3, we find an excuse she gives. It says in the... I'm in the wrong chapter, just a minute. Chapter 5. It says, "And I have put off my coat. How shall I put it on?" In other words, she's put off her daily clothing. She's got her night clothes on. And she says also, she says, "I have washed my feet. How shall I defile them? I've already taken a bath. I'm already cleaned up. I'm in bed. And how can I do that? How can I get up now?" Well, I want to tell you something. I believe if the Master calls, we better hit the road. I don't care if we just went to bed. We better hit the road. And spiritually, some of us are asleep. And when the Master calls, we better wake up. Because here's what happens in verse 4 and 5. He says, "My beloved put in his hand by the hole of the door, and my bowels were moved for him." You see, they used to have a hole in the door there where they could reach in and unlock the door. But you notice, he didn't unlock the door. He was only going to come in when he was invited. And listen to what it says. "I rose up to open to my beloved, and my hands dropped with myrrh, and my fingers with sweet-smelling myrrh upon the handles of the lock." He left his sweet perfume on the locks. Listen, when Jesus comes around, you always know it's sweet, it's precious, and he leaves something precious for us. Now look what happens. "I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. My soul failed when he spake. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer." You see, by the time she decided to answer the Lord, he had already left. I guess what I want to say to you is, folks, you don't choose the time you serve God and you answer His call. You better answer Him when He calls. And when He's calling you back to a relationship with Him and a sweet, close relationship, you better get up and let Him in. Amen? Because here we have a picture, and the Bible says that He was already gone. And we find that she began to look for Him. If you notice, she says she called and there was no answer. Have you ever had unanswered prayer? You ever had a time in your life when prayer don't even reach the ceiling? You go through the motions and nothing happens? Could be your beloved, the Lord Jesus Christ, has withdrawn Himself. Now, not from salvation, but from fellowship. And in verse number 6, it says, I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn Himself and was gone. My soul failed when He spake. I sought Him. She went out looking for Him, but I could not find Him. I called Him, but He gave me no answer. Look at verse number 7. The watchmen that went about the city found me. They smote me. They wounded me. The keepers of the wall took away my veil from me. You see, without the presence of her beloved, the bridegroom, they didn't even know who she was. They took her as a woman of the street. You know what it says to us there? She lost her testimony. The world didn't even know who she was, that she was the bride of the bridegroom. And too many times, we do the very same thing. You see, we walk through the world without the Savior with us, or without showing forth His presence with us. And the world doesn't know the difference, who we are. They treat us like a woman of the street. And that's what happened to her. And then we find in verse number 8, I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, that you tell him that I am sick of love. The word there does not mean that she is sick of it. She's saying she is sick with it. She's sick, longing for the love of her beloved. And you know what? That's what it takes to come back to the Lord, is to want it so much, to long for His love and companionship, once again, His fellowship. What I'm saying is that this woman basically did not go out and commit terrible, horrible sins. What she done was, she was in a state of apathy and got away from her beloved and did not answer when He called. See, the little foxes, they can get in and steal all kinds of things. They can steal the fruit of your life. They do it on a daily basis. And let me say to you, those little foxes are stealing fruit all over America and in Christians' lives. But it also can be just a state of apathy. I'm just not going to do anything about it. I'm asleep. I'm retired. So I don't have to do anything. And so the Savior, the Beloved, doesn't answer when she calls. Do you understand what your preacher's been trying to tell you tonight? See, I'm not trying to tell you you're there. I'm trying to tell you that's the way Satan works. And if you're there, you ought to change it. You ought to get back with the Lord and cry out to Him. And say, Lord, I'm sick for my love for You. I want that fellowship back. Whatever I have to do, I'm going to do to get it. Amen? Let's pray. Father, again, I thank You for the wonderful love of God. And Lord, I thank You for the warning about the little foxes that eat the grapes, the fruit of our life. And Father, I certainly do thank You for the warning about apathy, not great sins, not big things in our life, but simply just in a state of apathy, not doing anything about our condition, our relationship with the Lord. I just pray tonight You'll take this simple message and use it to Thy glory. And Father, should there be those here without Jesus Christ, never been saved, my prayer is that they'll be born into God's family today. My prayer also is for Christians. Lord, You know the heart. I don't. And I just ask You to deal with hearts according as Your will is. If there is a need, I pray that each heart will be willing to let You work upon that heart and knock at that door, and they'll be willing to open. I thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.